Saints in Christ, purchased and won from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with Christ's blood, his innocent suffering and death. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The inspired word of God comes to us today from the Gospel of St. John, the first chapter. Please be seated. Recorded in today's text is the account of Jesus going to Galilee for the purpose of calling disciples. Well, what is a disciple? What does that word mean? This morning, I listened to Dr. Nording hammer and hammer and hammer about studying your Greek. I've been a little remiss on that. I do know the word, though. It's mathetes. Well, what does it mean? It means one who learns, a learner. And if we were to take that word out a little bit more, it means discipline. So a disciple is one who is disciplined and follows the learning of a teacher. Well, how does one become a disciple? Do we go out and say, I want to be your disciple? No. If we look at Scripture, what did Jesus do? He went off to Galilee looking for disciples. And the first one he came upon that he was looking for was Philip. And he said, follow me. So we don't decide to become a disciple. Jesus calls us to be his disciples. You know, if we look at Philip, what did he do? You know, he's probably just wandering down the road, and this guy comes up to him and says, follow me, be my disciple. And Philip, being who he was, you know, he wasn't looking for somebody from Nazareth, and especially some guy who was just a contractor's son. You know, this guy works with rocks and stones and builds things out of wood. This can't be the Messiah. This isn't the one we're looking for. But yet it was. It was Christ. And he went to Philip and he said, follow me. So Jesus is the one who called Philip to be a disciple. Jesus is the one who calls all of you to be his disciple. Well, the call to discipleship, it's not cheap. It's very costly. In fact, the one who issued that call gave his life to issue the call to come and be his disciple. In fact, Jesus even said, if any of you would come after me, he must deny himself and daily take up his cross and follow me. To follow Jesus is to be nailed to the cross with him. To follow Jesus means to die his death, to be raised with him, and to enter into eternal glory with him. Did Philip understand that? Probably not. Do we fully understand that? Probably not. Did Philip follow him anyway? Yes. Believing is not understanding. Believing is trust. Believing is faith. To believe in Jesus is to trust him with your life and with your death. Oh, after Jesus called Philip, what did Philip do? He took off and went and told his friend. What did he say to him? We have found the one Moses wrote about in the Torah and about whom the prophets also wrote. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Philip went and told his friend what had happened, except Philip had it backwards. Philip said he found the Messiah, whereas it was the Messiah who found him. But Jesus would straighten him out a little bit later. The important point is this. When he heard the good news, He went and he told his friend that good news. What's more, before he went and told, did he attend a workshop? Did he attend some special training? No. To tell the good news is what we do all the time. Somebody's going to have a baby, you go and tell the good news. You got an A on your test, you tell the good news. To tell the good news, we simply go and do it. We don't need any special training to go and do that, to tell others who the Messiah is and what he has done for us. Well, what seems to be a problem in our church today? And when I speak of church, I mean the Christian church. What seems to be a problem that we can see and we understand? As I pondered this, I thought, let's look at some of the large church bodies. Let's look at what they do. And in my experience with many other pastors, I look at their church body and it's not really a church. They're filled with bureaucrats. They want to organize. They want a flow chart of who's in charge. They want to model their church after the same model that is used in the business world. They say, this business is successful, so let's model their organizational chart. We'll organize along the lines that they do, and we will follow their model for success. Then what do? They hire a bunch of professional workers to do their work. Have you ever considered the term professional church worker? Professionals are hired to do a job. Servants do their job out of love that comes from their heart and because Jesus loved them first. A church that is institutionalized relies on methods, it relies on principles, it relies on programs. In other words, it isn't relying upon the gospel. The gospel isn't quite good enough to do the work. We have to get in there, we have to organize, we have to manage, we have to do this in order to help the gospel along. We cannot let Jesus be Jesus. We have to help him do the work that he is doing in the world today. Well, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having a little bit of organization in the church. And I would say that there's probably several of you out there who could use a little bit more organization in your lives to keep things working properly. Yeah? But all of that organization, all that planning isn't going to make the word more effective. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Our motivation for outreach is not the survival of the institution. Our motivation for outreach is to tell the good news to those who have not heard it, to bring the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ and him alone to those who have not heard the word. Well, when Philip went and talked to Nathanael, what did Nathanael say? What good can come out of Nazareth? He didn't believe him. He was skeptical. You didn't expect the Messiah to come out of that city way up in the northern part of the country. Even if a prophet came from there, you know, why would somebody expect somebody from Nazareth? It just doesn't make sense. Yes, it does. Look at Jesus. He came down from heaven to be our prophet, priest, and king. As a king, you would expect him to ride into town on a large stallion with his army around him. But that wasn't Jesus' way of doing things. Jesus was conceived in the womb of a teenage girl who all we really know about is that she was favored by God. He was born in a sheep pen in a little town south of Jerusalem called Bethlehem. Mom was so poor, the only place she had to place him was in a feed trough for animals. He grew up a blue-collar worker, and where did he end up? Hanging on a cross, beaten, suffering, and dying. These aren't what society looks for. Jesus hid his greatness behind the ordinary. And so what do we want to do? We want to compensate for the ordinary. We want to compensate for those things that don't look great in our eyes. We want to shape the church. We have this tendency to shape the church to what culture wants instead of what Christ teaches us to have. We want to do such things as are outside of the Word of God versus what the Word of God tells us. But yet, where is Christ? Where is the church? The true church offers the gifts of Christ in his spoken word, in the written word, in such things as water at a font, as a little wafer of unleavened bread and a sip of wine. Society looks at these things and says, what good can come out of that? Well, what was Nathan's reply? What did he say? He was skeptical. So how did Philip reply to him? Come see. Come see for yourself. And he went. Faith wasn't formed under the fig tree. Faith was formed when he went and he heard God's word spoken directly to him. Faith comes by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It doesn't come by persuasive proofs. It doesn't come by testimonials. It doesn't come by engaging arguments. It comes by hearing the word of God. Consider the woman at the well. Jesus talked to her, spoke to her. The Holy Spirit worked faith in her. What'd she do? She went back to town and said, I have found the Messiah. What did the people say? Yeah, right. She said, go see for yourselves. They went, they listened to Jesus, and they came back to town and they said, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Only Jesus makes disciples. Our task is to tell people that Jesus is there and that Jesus invites them to come and see Jesus in action, to come to this place, to come here to the font, to come here to the pulpit, to come here to confession and absolution, to come here to the rail and receive his body and blood in with and under the bread and wine for the forgiveness of our sins. This is where Jesus is. This is where Jesus calls disciples. For these things, we thank him, we praise him. We thank our Lord for his word. We thank Jesus for his sacrifice on the cross. We thank him for the forgiveness spoken. We thank him for the forgiveness that we receive through the waters of holy baptism. We thank him for the bread, the wine, his body, his blood, for the forgiveness of our sins. We thank him for his resurrection and the gift that we will receive when we join with him and all the saints for all eternity in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.